So I just want to talk about the reading that we read together from Psalm 126. And I'd like to talk to you about sowing and reaping. And I'd like to talk to you about courage, persistence, and hope, which are at the heart of this psalm. So as I was saying to our little group that meets on Wednesday, we're going over the seven marks of love, seven marks of mission, the Anglican Communion. I was saying to folks, you know, the things that I ask people to do on Sunday morning, often ask people to do something. Why don't you go this week and do this? And I will often, I will say to myself, you told people to go do that. You better go do it yourself. So I hope you'll be pleased to know that I try to do these things myself that I ask you to do. And so this last week, I asked people to pray for courage, not necessarily they're going to go out and, I don't know, wrestle a polar bear or something, but just courage, small acts of courage in the course of our daily life. So I prayed for that this week. I was working on the Joshua passage during the course of the week. And I would just pray every day for little acts of courage. And it's kind of interesting what came of that. One of the things I did is I decided to have coffee with a friend of mine, which doesn't sound like an act of courage particularly, but he's a guy who is, how would I put this? He knows what he's doing. I'm trying to put away like I'm not bragging for him or something. He was a pretty highly placed guy in a very significant business. I'll just put it that way. And I wanted to seek his practical advice and all kinds of things. So he said something to me the other day that made me think I should talk to him. I invited him a little bit warily. In a way, I've known him for a long time, but we're not close friends. Were acquaintances, probably about 15 years, but never become close friends. For one thing, I guess we're quite different in a way. We're both from Manitoba. I don't know, that should count for something, but we're quite different in a way. He's from that town in Manitoba and I'm from this town in Manitoba, you know? And so we're quite different in a way. He's a devout Christian, but comes from a very, very different part of the tradition than I do. And so we don't really talk about matters of faith very much. And the other thing is, how to put this? I asked him if he might do something for me. I want this so that it doesn't make me sound like I'm petulant, because actually I probably am petulant and I'm trying to put it in a way that doesn't sound petulant, but I asked him to do something for me probably about 8 years ago. Our family was we had a real crisis going on in our family. So as a small favor, I asked him to do something. I thought it was a small favor, probably was a much bigger favor than I thought. And he declined during this difficult time. And I confess before you that I think I was bearing a little bit of a grudge. I don't know if anybody ever does that. I'm sure there are no grudge bearers in this congregation because we won't let them in during Lent. I was maybe not quite admitting this to myself, but I was carrying a little bit of a grudge towards him, although I needed his help at the same time. So it was kind of like, oh, a little wary about this. I'm worried about myself. And at the same time, I'm asking God to give me the gift of courage. And this was kind of a way of kind of moving out into a bit of courage and asking him about something that was important to me. I think of that as, in a way, a little bit of, if we're talking about today's reading from Psalm 126, that was a little bit of courageous seed sowing on my part. I don't want to say courageous, but in a small way, courageous seed sowing on my part. And the reason I think of that, because in the ancient world, nobody, this, you see the images of of sowing seeds and harvesting in the psalm. Do you, everybody see that there? Yeah, okay, good. So in the ancient world, we're not too sure about the ratio of planting to harvesting. Some people say it was pretty good. Some people say the ratio between planting one seed and the seed number of seeds that you get from planting one seed was as little as 4 to 1. So that means for every seed that you planted, you would grow 4 seeds. It's not a very, not a really, really high ratio of return. Although again, there's disagreement about it. But that would mean in the worst case scenario that you are taking a quarter of your family's food, or at least in the form of grain, you're taking a quarter of your family's food. And even if your kids are hungry, you're going, we gotta put this in the ground for next year. So there it is, quarter. Sometimes they suggest even half. It has to be put in the ground. And so we can understand, you remember Jesus' parable of the sower, right? And so they're doing what's called broadcasting. That is, you have a little, in this case, it describes a little pocket, actually. You got a little pocket full of seed and you're broadcasting it. So it's, you know, it's sowing the seed like this, right? You haven't got a Massey Ferguson, you know, out there in the field. You're doing it manually like this. And so we understand why Jesus says, well, you plant your seed, but a lot of things could happen to the seed before it actually grows, you know, like it could end up in the wrong place, could get by birds, all kinds of things. Part of the reason for the low return. And so we understand that there is a lot of risk involved in farming, like in this psalm, there is a lot of risk involved in farming, right? At the same time, we know this psalm isn't really about farming. It's kind of using it as an illustration, but it's not really about farming. It's about life. And they're saying life is like this. If you're a pilgrim, because we know that because it talks about Zion, the restoration of Zion, going, okay, this is about pilgrimage again, folks. We've talked about that lots, eh? This is about pilgrimage again. If you're a follower of the Lord and you're trying to do that faithfully in your life, you know that life is going to be like that. There are going to be times when you look back and you're going, wow, that was a time of magnificent harvest for all the hard work that I did or we did as a community. And we look and we're back and we're going, man, we didn't get 4 to 1. We got, you know, 100 to 1. God really blessed us. And, but at the same time, the psalm is also saying, because the psalm is in the middle. It's talking about harvest in the past and harvest in the future, but the psalm itself is locating in the middle. The middle part is when you're going, I got to take a quarter of the seeds and I got to try and sow them. And it's saying, you know, a lot of our life, some of our life is spent in harvest, you know, in the past, we think about harvest in the future, but a lot of our life is spent in sowing the seed. These little acts of faithfulness, that make up our life when we sow the seed. Can think, well, it's seed. What else could that mean? What else could a seed sowing little acts of faithfulness and sowing little seeds mean when it seems a little risky? And think of all kinds of examples in your life, right? Where you're just taking a little risk and you're going, God bless this little risk I'm taking. Bless this grain I'm sowing. Bless what I'm doing. And bless the imperfect way that I'm going about trying to sow these seeds in my life, the life of people that I love, the life of the parish, community, beyond that, because I know my crop is not Roundup ready. You know, it's not guaranteed, but I'm asking you, Lord, to bless, as it says, bless the work of my handiwork, O Lord, bless the work of my hands. And praying that God will indeed bless that these little persistent acts of labor. And then this is how the psalm ends. And it goes, may the Lord bless this, like in this seed sowing we're doing right now. We don't know what's going to happen. May the Lord bless this like the water courses of the Negev. The Negev's desert, right? May it be as glorious as the great rainfalls of the Negev. Well, guess what? It never rains in the Negev. That's the point, right? So you're going, may Lord, I'm planting this seed. May you bless it so that it will be nourished and grow in a miraculous way. As miraculous as it would be as if it rained in the desert. Asking to take these little things, God, that we're doing, and God to miraculously bless them with his rain, with his care. There's these little collections of sayings of Jesus that never quite made it into the New Testament. We know some of them. St. Paul quotes one. He says, it is more blessed to give and receive than it is to receive, as the Lord said. Not found anywhere in the Gospels. Jesus is literally quoting, Paul's literally quoting Jesus, because one of the apostles said to him, hey, do you remember when the boss used to say this? They go, yeah, that's a good one. I got to remember that. So we have little sayings like that, not written by, you know, heretics or something, but just little bits that people would pass along. So one of them, Bishop Papias, back in the second century, said, hey, I got a funny little saying that the Lord used to say. I heard it from the apostles and they heard it from Jesus. It's a great little saying. It goes like this. He says, Jesus goes, in the age to come, every grapevine will produce not 4-to-1, not 10-to-1, but as somebody said, they had to break their calendar to do the calculations here. Every grapevine will produce 225 quadrillion and 10. I don't know why they added that and 10. 225 quadrillion and 10 gallons of wine per vine. It's a pretty good harvest, right? What is a quadrillion exactly? It's a lot of numbers. And the Lord is obviously saying to us, you can expect a lot more than the little bit you planted in the age to come. And God himself will look at what you've done, and he may bless it in ways that are so miraculous that you could never have imagined it. Not guaranteed, but something to pray for. So I'm thinking about my friend again. We were having this little conversation. I was asking advice. I'm a little wary. And then he starts to talk. And you know, this was my little seed I was planning talking to him, and starts talk, and then he opens up and he starts to tell, he gave me a really good piece of advice. Piece of advice was, you should make sure that your plans are in accordance with what the Lord wants. That's always a good idea. Advice, number one. But then he also told me, this is from a business executive, but then he started to tell me about his spiritual life, which we had never discussed because he's over here and I'm over there. And just started to, you remember the part in a story of Alibaba, where, you know, the thieves have got all this treasure in the cave, and then Alibaba just opens it up and then looks into the cave and there's astounded with all the treasure in it. That's how I felt my friend started to talk about his spiritual life. It was like, I didn't know that cave was there. I opened it up and he was saying things. And the only thing I could say to him is, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I had no idea. And I haven't had a conversation with someone with whom I felt so spiritually and theologically in sync other than with members of my own family, for at least 40 years. It was revelatory what the Lord was doing in this particular person's life. So after I'd kind of been going for 15 years, I don't know, one little risk, one little prayer. Yeah, I got to pray because I asked these people to pray, right? Pray a little bit, and the Lord made my harvest grow infinitely more than I could have asked or imagined. So this is Lent, right? All agree on that. And Lent is not harvest time. It is seeding time. It is when we take our little acts of faithfulness, little things we can do. We plant them carefully. We tend them. We offer them to the Lord. And we ask him to bless the work of our handiwork, to make the little things that we do during Lent to flourish. And that's also true, I think, as a parish community. We ask the Lord to take our faithfulness, and you've been faithful, believe me, extraordinarily faithful. We ask the Lord to take our simple acts of faithfulness as individuals or as a parish, and to bless them like the water courses of the Negev, like Ali Baba's cave opening up. And we should not be afraid to do that, because scripture tells us to do it. Bless us like the water courses of the Negev, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. We'll be faithful, we'll persist, we'll follow through, we'll be courageous because we trust. Lord, bless the work of our hands. I would like us this week, another assignment, is to offer one simple little prayer each day. And that is this: bless, O Lord, the work of our hands in my life and in this parish. O Lord, may your harvest be miraculous and infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.